Hello, my name is Nicola Harkin and I'm IBEX Head of Employment Law Services. If you're listening to this podcast, you might be interested in IBEX Employment Law Conference to be held on the 20th of April in the new Royal Dublin Convention Centre. On the day, you will hear from IBEX experts on all the recent changes to employment law in Ireland. Things including statutory sick pay, probation, work-life balance, whistleblowing and more. So if you're interested in attending, please click on the link on the episode page and we look forward to seeing you there.
Welcome to KC Connect Podcast, brought to you by IBEX Employer Relations Team. Across this series of short episodes, we will provide insight and expertise on some of the most common challenges for our members and discuss the challenges shaping the employer relations landscape. My name is Kevin Feary. I am Regional Director in the IBEC West Office. I'm joined by Aoife McFadden, Senior Solicitor on the Employment Law Team, and we will discuss retirement age and the potential reforms on the horizon in this area. Aoife, in my role as an IBEC executive, I am regularly contacted by IBEC members who have received a request by an employee seeking to work past their retirement age. And I know from experience this question can be quite difficult for businesses to navigate, and we are seeing an increase in queries from our members in this area. I know this is your experience also. Could you give any insight as to why there is an increase in the amount of queries in this area?
Yes, Kevin, over the last few years, there's been a huge increase in focus on the use by employers of mandatory retirement ages. Certainly the political narrative and policy development in this area highlights the importance of longer working lives. So there is increased pressure on employers who are seeking to maintain a contractual retirement age, which is usually at 65, but where better health and medicine sees an older population emerging, this changing demographic has put a focus on the use of retirement ages and longer working in general.
And as you mentioned, we've seen reform in this area already with the state pension age moving from 65 to 66 in 2014, with further provision then to push it to 68 in 2028. But as we are all aware, there was a lot of pushback against these reforms. And the government announced in September 2022 that there will be no further increases to the state pension age and that it will remain at 66. However, there are other proposals for reform announced by the government. And today I'm really looking forward to discussing these proposed reforms with you and to discuss what we think employers should be doing in this time of transition. So Aoife, could you give us an overview of the current position with regards to an employer's right to fix a mandatory retirement age in Ireland today?
So the core principle, I suppose, we are discussing here that underpins this whole conversation is discrimination. So it's illegal to discriminate against an employee on the grounds of age. It's one of the 9 protected grounds, along with gender, for example, race being another one, marital status another. However, the Employment Equality Acts do provide that an employer may fix a retirement age subject to 2 conditions, that there is an objective justification to the legitimate aim they are seeking to achieve, and the means of achieving that aim is appropriate and necessary.
Yeah, I know this is a really challenging area for employers, particularly around setting an objective justification for a legitimate aim. So objective justifications, by their very nature, are industry and sector specific and come down to individual facts in each case. So perhaps could you outline what is meant by an objective justification to a legitimate aim and how a company can identify their legitimate aim for fixing a retirement age?
Yes, so agreed. In practice, we see how challenging this area is for employers. And as you said, it is the industry sector and the age dynamic of an organisation which will determine the legitimate aim the company is seeking to achieve in setting a retirement age. Some of the legitimate aims that are set out in the Code of Practice, but we also see them through case law. For example, succession planning, ensuring the employees have a line of sight on promotion, for example, or another one is intergenerational fairness. It's ensuring there's cross-generational equity, so to speak, in access to employment. And then another legitimate aim established by case law is ensuring the safe place of work. Case law has demonstrated, for example, that an objective justification for setting the retirement ages for tram workers at 65 or 55 for a helicopter winch man were legal and satisfied the provisions of the Employment Equality Acts.
How does this work in practice, though? If you are a HR director of a large company or the owner of a small business, what does enforcing an employer's right to fix a retirement age actually look like?
So I think this is where and why the whole area of retirement age is so complex. So in order to, not to simplify it, but maybe just to navigate through it, you would see 4 steps or questions that an organisation needs to ask themselves. The first being, do we have an enforceable mandatory retirement age? It can be set out expressly in a clause in a contract, or it can be implied by custom and practice of retiring employees at a certain age, and that there's an acknowledgement or an awareness in the organisation by employees of this retirement policy. So this is the starting point. So if an employer does not have an express mandatory retirement age, or one that they can imply through custom and practice, or another example is where they've acquiesced in its enforcement, an employer will face difficulties in establishing a starting point in relation to the establishment and enforcement of a contractual retirement age.
So the first area of focus is there a mandatory retirement age or an enforceable retirement age? What are the next steps that an employer might take?
In our view, the second and third step, they could be considered together because they're established within the Employment Equality Acts, which transposed European law. And it is, can the organisation stand over and objectively justify the age they have fixed as having a legitimate aim? So we walk through what those aims might be earlier. Can the employer show that the fixing of retirement age is underpinned by the need for succession planning to establish intergenerational fairness, or to guard the safety of its employees, where the role has a safety critical element? And the proportionality test then is the third proof. Is the means of achieving this aim of succession planning or intergenerational fairness, is this appropriate and necessary? So it's a focus and a balance between the rights of the employer to fix the retirement age and the right of an employee to work and to make a living.
Okay, so if an employer establishes that there is an enforceable retirement age and can stand over a legitimate aim that is proportionate, and you mentioned another step, what might that be?
So the final step would be the code of practice on longer working, best practice in this area. So is the organisation following the code of practice? Are they communicating the retirement age? Are they providing a transparent and fair process for all employees who may wish to work beyond the mandatory retirement age of the organisation?
Okay, so that's the current system. What part of the system is set to change?
So in September 2022, the government announced three main areas of reform. The first is the reform of an employer's ability to fix retirement ages. This would mean that employers will not be able to fix retirement ages below the state pension age, which is currently 66, except in exceptional circumstances. And the second area of reform is to introduce a flexible state pension system. So where individuals can postpone their entitlement to draw down their pension, their state pension, until 70 in return for a higher payment that they're estimating at 24% at the moment, 24% more than what they would have got at 66. And then finally is the automatic enrolment pension saving system is a third area of reform.
So in these three main areas of reform, what in your view is the trend in the government's approach to this area?
So if we go back to the beginning of our conversation, Kevin, I think we're all acknowledging this overarching objective in government and social policy to encourage longer working, reflecting the worldwide changing age demographic. So in fact, the government clearly stated in their press release that the new system will put the power in people's hands and give them a choice in terms of what best suits their own circumstances.
Yeah, I agree. This is already reflected in IBEX advice to employers to, where possible, utilise longer working provisions and to show flexibility. And it certainly seems to me that the proposed reforms look like they will enhance this case-by-case basis approach to employers when considering the individual needs of employees' situations. So what is the current position in respect of these legislative reforms?
Currently, in relation to three areas, we only have draft legislation for the proposed auto-enrolment system. It's nearing conclusion of its pre-legislative scrutiny in the Oireachtas, but we've yet to see any draft legislation in relation to the two other areas, the flexible state pension system and the ability for an employer to fix mandatory retirement ages.
Okay, so as it currently stands, what are the key features in relation to the pension automatic enrolment system?
The key features of the automatic enrolment system as currently drafted are that those employees between the age of 23 and 60 earning over 20,000 who do not have access to an existing occupational pension scheme will be automatically enrolled in this new system, which will be managed by a central processing agency. It's going to be gradually phased in over a decade with both employer and employee contributions starting at 1.5% and increasing until they reach 6% by year 10. There's also a cap on contributions for salaries over 80,000 as it is currently drafted.
And do we have any line of sight as to when these reforms might be implemented?
So the government announced that they intended the flexible retirement system to be introduced from January 2024. And this is the same timescale that's aligned with the auto-enrolment system. However, there's so much work yet to be done not only in relation to enacting legislation, but also in relation to the supporting frameworks that are going to be required. So it's worth noting that we haven't seen any draft legislation in relation to proposed reforms to an employer's ability to fix retirement ages, nor in relation to the reform of the state pension system.
So there's a lot more legislation to be published in this space. Okay, so Aoife, is there anything that employers might be doing now to prepare for these changes that might be coming?
I suppose the two key words that are forefront in any advices to members are consistency and flexibility, taking into account the four key kind of proofs we discussed earlier. You know, do you have a contractual enforceable mandatory retirement age? Can you objectively justify that retirement age? Is it a proportionate means of achieving the aim that you've established? And are you following the code of practice and longer working? So on top of that, then, your consistency in the approach to both the enforcement of your retirement age and the manner in which you deal with requests for longer working, and flexibility in the approach to longer working requests from employees.
Yeah, case law has really demonstrated that a lack of consistency will really undermine an employer's ability to rely on the retirement age. And surveys within IBEC have shown that a number of our members are actually utilising post-retirement fixed-term contracts, which we advise has been the best way to provide employees with longer working provisions where a post-retirement contract can be justified.
Yeah, agreed, Kevin, because it's staying within the legislative framework that is provided in the Employment Equality Acts, which gives protection to employers. So in summary, then, we are advising employers to be flexible in facilitating longer working where possible, while acknowledging that the proposed reforms will seek to increase the rights of employees to remain in the workforce. And then the changes that are proposed are going to have the potential not only to affect an employer's right to fix retirement ages, but also that employees are going to have an option to postpone their state pension entitlements until 70. And this will no doubt see a knock-on effect and an increase in the management of longer working requests and the challenges and opportunities this may bring for both employees and employers alike.
Really interesting area. Thanks, Aoife, for those insights.
Thanks, Kevin.
And that concludes this episode. Thanks for listening. For more content like this, be sure to explore our audio hub on ibec.ie and follow IBEC on Twitter at ibec_IRL.